Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards. Save big money
at Menards. Good Monday, everybody. Welcome in. Chase, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Broadcasting live from the Hillside Medical Game Studios. Nick Kieser wearing a Arizona Coyotes jersey on the ones and twos behind the glass. Gentlemen, how are we? Good Monday.
We're doing well. Willie made me laugh right quick.
Yeah, he always he like always comes in with a good one-liner right as I'm about to open the mic.
Man. I get it. Does Joe sit here during the show?
Or yeah.
He sits there.
No, he was sitting there.
Sits there. Yeah.
I got to talk to Joe. How does he work this mic? How does he keep the mic in the right spot?
I know. We got – look, I've been told it's going to be fixed, and then one broke on the buzz, and they took it there, and I don't know. I'm working on it.
No, I know. But I'm just wondering how Joe manages to do it. I got to talk to Joe.
I don't know.
I'm going to send him a text. What's his technique? My technique is just to lean on the
seat. Do you lower your seat?
I've tried lowering the seat. I
got to
lean on it with one arm.
There are so many inappropriate jokes I can make right now over the microphone, not staying up. And I'm just going to move on.
So there's too many other things to talk about.
Yeah. Too many other things to talk about. The Vols.
Cool Springs MD.
Chris Collinsworth.
I'm just saying.
Just
supporting the sponsors. That's all, Chase.
You want to bring Blue Chew back while we're at it?
Man. All right, Chase.
Do you have limp microphones?
Let's go. All right. Let's go. Yes.
Anyway, the Vols get the biggest win. I mean, really, in forever. I mean, definitely in the last 20 years, with a tremendous atmosphere in Knoxville on Saturday, beating Alabama, a last-second field goal. They win it 52-49. I mean, it was such a fun football game. And, we talked about it all last week. And, Willie, you and I kind of, as the week went on, were like, you know what? I actually think the Vols are going to win. It just started to feel that way. But my hope was when I finally got to Saturday – and I came up here for a little bit. We have a new part-timer I was training. And as I'm going about my day, getting ready for 2:30, I'm just like, just give me a good game. I just want it to be a good game. That's all I want. I don't want it to be a blowout. Just give me a good game. Well, they did. I mean, that was an awesome game. And I wish I had actually been there. But it was so much fun to watch on TV. With Brad Nessler and Gary Danielson on the call, I had other games on. Like I had, they're replaying Georgia Vandy right now. I had that on, even though that was over pretty quick. Had the Braves on. We don't need to talk about that.
No.
You and I are looking at next year's schedule for our team.
Yes, okay. We are.
And, it is what it is. But
100 win teams out in the National
League.
That's
amazing.
It's unbelievable.
It's amazing. Which honestly is probably bad for baseball because I don't know how many people are going to care. But, whatever. It delivered. It delivered. It was a good, fun game, and Tennessee finds a way to win. And I think the biggest thing that is being lost in all of this is the kicker's first name is Chase, and that just shows you the kind of people that Chases are. They get it done. They're good under pressure. They're clutch. And that's what happened.
It was a great game. My perspective was I was down in Dallas, and I watched the first half from my hotel room, and then the second half I was in the media room, at the media meal. I was up in the press box. I was down on the bench about to interview Ellie Tolvanen, and right at the moment of truth, I had the game on my phone.
Oh, no.
And I'm thinking, look, I've got to break away from the game. I got to do my job here. And so it was just crazy how it all unfolded. But the point is, it was such a classic, regardless of who you were rooting for or whether you're rooting for anybody. Everybody in Dallas, for example, at a hockey game, was riveted to that game. And, of course, Dallas is somewhat SEC country. Obviously, it's football country. But even people who were not seriously college football fans or really having – they were enamored because the game was so crazy, had so many twists and turns. I would argue that it's got to be nominated. Now, if you go back through the years, you could come up with a lot of candidates. But that's right up there with any classic college football game. I just was starting to think, you know, what are the 10 most fun football games that I've ever watched that had so many twists and turns like that? It's got to be a nominee.
I would say so. I mean, for me, in my lifetime, the one that I will always like, hey, greatest college football game you've ever watched, I would say the Rose Bowl, Texas, and
that's got to be in there. And so what you have to do is tear yourself away from whether you're – like if you're a Tennessee fan, obviously you're going to be biased.
Yeah.
Or if you're an Alabama game, you're going to be biased the other way because your team lost. But if you take all of that out,
but
it was just a great game. Yeah.
Well, I mean, you can. Alabama fans have probably been a part of two of the greatest SEC games, say within the last 20 years. You know, you talk about the national championship game, Georgia, not. This year, but when Tua came in for Hurts, was that the national championship game or was that the SEC championship game?
SEC.
Okay, when Tua came in for Hurts, threw the
touchdown. It was the SEC
because he threw the touchdown to Devontae Smith.
That was the national championship game that Tua came in for Hurts.
But that's right.
Remember the Hurts SEC championship game, Hurts came in for Tua.
Right. Yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. So
it must be nice to have those two guys.
I know. That was, you know, for Bama fans, I'm sure that was one of the most memorable games. And then obviously Bama in Auburn years ago, when they returned the field goal for a touchdown, Auburn did. Bama was on a losing end of that one. And then this one. This one was a great game from an offensive standpoint. We were texting, and we basically said, whoever gets the ball last, that's who's going to win. And that's basically how it played out. Whoever got the ball last, that was going
to
win.
And what did I say I didn't want to have
the kicker. And what happened with Alabama? Alabama kicker misses. I'm not surprised that Nick didn't try to get more yardage.
You remember we had the guy on from Alabama on Friday, and I asked about the kicker because he had missed a couple.
Yeah.
And the guy, I forget his name. What's the name of the guy that we had on Friday? But he had written an article.
Friend.
Michael Casagrande. Yeah.
Michael Casagrande, to his credit, he wrote an article about the kicker. And that's what made me ask him the question because he had missed a couple. And Nick Saban was like, look, the good kicker, and this is absolutely true, the good kickers are like assassins. Right, you hear the term "the guts of a burglar." Right, you're not thinking. You're just icy cool. The moment isn't too big for you. But I thought about that as he lined up for his kick. He missed it. I mean that was a very makeable kick. But like you were saying, and we talked about it after the Giants Titans game, every yard matters. Mm-hmm. Get your kicker closer. Don't just assume that the guy's going to make it. I don't like that, and I've heard Mike Vrabel say this. I disagree with this philosophy. We expect the kicker to make it if we're inside of 45 or 47 yards, whatever he says. I disagree with that. Get as close as you can get.
Sure, but I'm going to give Josh Heupel a ton of credit on that because there's two. Think about both kicks. What did Saban do before Chase McGrath's kick? Called the timeout. He tried to ice him. The old school mentality. Heupel didn't, and I think that was the right move because everything was moving so fast. Why take the time to stop it?
Calm everybody down.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Because in your head you may think, okay, well, he's going to think about it. But you're calming him down. You made him rush out there. You made him have to kick it. I thought it was a brilliant move for him not to call the timeout. And I fully expected Saban to do it, you know, before McGrath's kick. And, look, he knew that was coming too. So, I don't want to get into the whole – necessarily did Heupel out coach Saban because it was a shootout. It could have been anybody's game. It was going to come down to the last possession.
There was no out coaching.
No. I thought they both did their jobs. But I thought it was a really, really good move by Heupel not to call the timeout, because it two things. It kept it moving, and it preserved the timeouts for him to use as he needed once they got the ball back. So yeah. I thought that was a really good move.
I agree.
Yeah, it was. This game, for one, I was surprised at not that Tennessee was able to score, but I was surprised that Alabama's defense gave up. It was sort of easy for if you don't have, you know, Hooker's overthrown pass in the end zone, which that had to be a perfect pass if he was going to try to get that in there. That would have had to be a perfect pass. If you take that, if they score there, or the pass or the receivers running up the sideline, and for some reason he turns around to try to catch the ball instead of running up underneath the ball, that could have potentially been another touchdown. So that's 14 points that you left right on the board, UT. I was surprised, truly surprised at the way that UT was able to move effortlessly up and down the field.
Well, and Hyatt would be wide open.
Yeah, it was. But we talked about this.
How many of his touchdowns were him just standing there untouched?
Every touchdown he ran basically was go routes and post routes. It was nothing. And the kid, the kid can flat out fly. But what this does, and don't be surprised if this doesn't happen on Alabama again when they play Ole Miss. And I know Lane he's going to look at this film very closely. Alabama has trouble when you take those two receivers and you put him outside the numbers. And then you motion. You do some type of motion. And that's what I said Friday, Willie. I said the reason why Hendon Hooker hasn't thrown interceptions or has been so accurate is because he can see the defense.
And there's so much space.
Exactly. It's like I'm going to line you up so far that you have to commit to your defense.
It just seems like it's so easy.
Yeah.
That scheme is amazing. And it's like, why doesn't everybody do that? Like, for example, not only did they hit the big ones, right, which they hit a bunch of them, but all day long, the square in route, mm-hmm. right? It's like anytime they wanted to get a square in for 15 yards, and the guy in the dead run, as long as Hooker put the ball on the money, it was there every time. But there's so much space, you can't cover mm-hmm. everything. It's like you just rarely see Alabama in that situation where they're looking around going, we can't cover everything. We can't stop them if they execute. And then on top of that, Alabama had how many penalties? 17 penalties?
Yes.
Wow.
I want to get some further thoughts from you, Derek, on mm-hmm. Hyatt, because I thought he was fantastic and has been, mm-hmm. All season long. But we'll take your calls, your texts on the Vols. They get the win over Alabama, 615-737-1025. You can call or text our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Also, press conference scheduled for 2 o'clock today involving the city and the Tennessee Titans and the stadium. We will talk about that because, obviously, we've been sitting here going, when's there going to be some news? We knew this is coming. When is it going to happen? Looks like it is happening today. We're up and running here on a Monday. Chase, Willie, and D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, the game. But first, Willie, tell us about QC Kinetics.
All right, let's talk QC Kinetics. They are keeping people moving. That is a very important thing in life. You want to be active. You want to continue as long as you can to be able to do the things that you love to do without any sort of joint pain or anything that can bring you down. And QC Kinetics has that breakthrough technology. They have the very, very best, the latest in the regenerative medicine that is something that has not been available to the general public for very long. Pro athletes have had it for years, and it's been very useful for them so they can stay on the field or they can be at their best. But the regenerative medicine treatments from QC Kinetics use natural biologics, healing agents from your own body, to restore and repair damaged joint tissue. So if you've got shoulder problems, hips, knees, back, don't think that steroids, surgery, other traditional treatments are the only options. A lot of people in our area are raving about how they have their life back without that nagging pain. So call QC Kinetics and get the free consultation. They now have clinics not only in Nashville, but also Clarksville and Murfreesboro, if you're listening in one of those areas. Here's the phone number, 615-249-4024. That's 615-249-4024 for QC Kinetics. 615-249-4024.
It starts with your quarterback, him being able to be decisive, take care of the ball. You have to have trust in him. Five guys up front doing a phenomenal job protecting. Tonight, that defensive line is as good as anybody in the country. And then guys out on the perimeter making plays. You know what I mean? Ramel Keaton, huge catch. Brew setting it up. How about Chase McGrath? Like, you know, obviously in the middle part of the football game, one that he wants to have back. I went over and talked to him on the bench, and he gave me the look like, get away from me. I'm good. You don't need to talk to me. You know what I mean? Like, he's a competitor, and for him to go out and finish it tonight the way, it's fitting. So, really proud of that. The scene after the game, our administration had a plan, and we're going to try to make sure that our team was safe, our staff was safe. Man, what an unbelievable scene, though. Like, as that thing ends, I'm running out in the middle of the field, but you can see the swarm of orange coming down. The orange out was phenomenal tonight, but God, the energy from our fans, man. Student body, our entire stadium. It was electric, man. Vol walk is always the most unique thing in college sports, in my opinion. Like, until you experience it, it's just words, but it truly is. Tonight's Vol walk is unlike anything I could ever imagine. The sea when I turned left with my kids was, I mean, so deep. And what an awesome night for them.
Vols head coach Josh Heupel on the win and setting everything up as the Vols defeat Alabama 52-49, the first time since 2005, I think it was. They've never beaten Saban until now, that the Vols get the win. And I want to say this about, he alluded to it, of that they had a plan and everything. We live in such a, like, no-fun world now that I am so glad that Tennessee basically said, and they've had fun with it, of, yeah, we know we're going to get fined. Yeah, we know it's against the rules. You know what? Storm the field. Tear those SOBs down. Take them to the river. Enjoy this. You don't get to do it. And I love that they've embraced it, because that is tradition. That is college football. And it was such an awesome scene. I've been watching videos all weekend of that goalpost marching up and down Cumberland and then ending up in the river.
That's like, great.
That was awesome. My dad told me a story when he was at UT. They beat somebody. It may have been Alabama. I think they beat Bear Bryant. And they did. They tore the goalpost down. It went in every bar on the strip, and then it ended up in the river. And I always thought that was so freaking cool. And to see it now and to hear the, you know, feels like 98 and everybody just being all excited. You know, nowadays there's just too much of, well, you're not supposed to storm the field. You'll get fined by the SEC. You don't need to touch the goalposts. They're too expensive. Get out of here.
That's how they sound.
The only thing I thought was, it was awesome. That's what you should do. I can remember the first time I think I saw something like that was when Ohio State pulled the upset when they had Maurice Claret and they beat Miami in the Fiesta Bowl. It was a controversial play. Remember Andre Johnson,
the pass interference. Yeah.
Ooh, that was kind of shaky. But Ohio State won, and they took the goalpost, and they were marching all around Tempe with it.
Yeah,
that's great.
It's tradition.
That's what it's about.
It's what you're supposed to
do. But here, I don't want to be ranting on the parade. But why did they do like a GoFundMe to pay the bill
back? I thought that was funny.
Why? Why are you asking the fans to do it? You should be happy.
No, but it's a joke. We need Willie?
Yeah, but the people were actually paying money.
Well, that's fine. They'll put it in the, you know, the
hopefully
charity.
They donate the money. Yeah.
I thought it was funny.
Okay, well, put back in there. We're just joking. You don't have to pay.
Like, I thought it was funny.
Yeah, I want to see where the money go to. That's what I want to
see. Sure. But, like, I laughed when I saw that. I was like, okay, that's pretty good.
No, it was, and listen, they deserved it. Because I think, you know, I think it was bigger than what actually happened. That was, you know, a decade and a half of frustration just coming out, like in a good way. Where this team has been so down and in search of somebody to help lead them back to where they're at now. You know, they didn't feel this type of, you know, sort of euphoria since 98. And, you know, for them to storm the field, I mean, you had grandmothers, you had kids, You had, you know, aunties, uncles, students, all of them just storming the field, enjoying this one moment. And what was so neat about it is you had the older crowd celebrate with the younger crowd, you know. Yeah. And they deserved it because UT has been through a lot. And, you know, finally it's starting to rain orange in the college world.
Did you see the video? There's this guy posted a video, and it's him and his section as the kick is happening, and there's a guy behind him with his son that they start celebrating with. That guy was Peyton Manning.
Oh, wow.
Peyton was in the crowd with the fans and with his son, and, like, high-fiving everybody, like, you know, because everybody talks about this Peyton curse and him being on game day. He was great on game day. He and Pat McAfee were hilarious together.
I didn't get a chance to see the game day.
So they set up the ladder so Peyton could direct the band to play Rocky Top like he did when he was there. And he had two ladders, and he said, hey, Pat, you got to come help me. And McAfee literally jumps off the stage, goes full sprint all around it to back where Peyton was, and Spider-Man's up the ladder. It was hilarious to direct
I wonder if the 98 team was there. The 98 championship team. Obviously, T. Martin
wasn't there because
they had a game Sunday. Yeah. So it would have been hard for him to
leave
New York, come to Knoxville, and go back. But I'm sure a lot of that 98 team was there celebrating. And again,
did you guys see Peerless Price?
And again, it's bigger. It's bigger than Alabama.
I love it.
He went crazy on the.
He deserves to.
I loved Peerless Price. Peerless Price was my guy back in the day when I grew up a Vanderbilt fan, but you know, everybody's like, oh yeah, are you a UT fan? Well, I grew up in the state when they were at their best. Mm-hmm. I never had anything against them. It just, when they play Vanderbilt, go doors. I mean, that's how it's been. And it's never been, I'm a UT fan. It's just, their success is good for the state. It's good for us to talk about. So, like, you know, whatever. I don't have any ill will against them, but yeah, 98. I loved Peerless Price.
Yeah, they had a really, really good team. It was a complete team. That's what it was. They didn't rely. It was like both sides of the ball did their job. It wasn't one side did their job and the other didn't. But it seems like in this past game. But you got to give DC Banks. You got to give him a pat on the back because even though his team gave up, you know, 40-something points, they made plays when they needed to. They got stops when they needed to. I swear, there must have been a huge – and I'm not saying that they, you know, say take Bryce Young. I don't think they said that. But there was a huge – there had to be a huge emphasis on, hey, listen, you need to hit Bryce Young.
He got hit.
You need to hit him, but within the scope of the play and no penalties because they were coming after him. I haven't seen a college game like that for a quarterback in a very long time where he was basically on the ground every third or fourth play. They were on him. You got to take your hats off the offense, meaning defensive coordinator Banks.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to tell you what, though. That kid can play.
Bryce Young's the best quarterback in the country.
Dude.
I don't care what anybody says. And Hendehooker, I think right now he's the Heisman favorite. But Bryce Young?
Bryce Young's right up there. I mean,
Bryce Young's the number one pick in the draft.
It's Hendehooker, Bryce Young, CJ Stroud for the Heisman.
Like, yeah, that's those, what I
– Well, I think Bryce – well, after that game, he probably put himself back in the top three.
He should be. I don't care if he missed the game. Well,
but, you know, they hold that – you know, if you don't play all the games, they will hold that against you. And he was a reigning, you know, Heisman Trophy winner. So
it's hard to repeat.
Exactly.
I think that is what made this – the type of classic that we're talking about, where you're nominating it among best of all time because you had two quarterbacks that both played great. Some of the plays that Bryce Young made were just, you had to tip your hat. Like, Tennessee did everything. That's the underrated part we didn't see coming with the Tennessee team is their defense. It's hard to play defense when your offense is playing high tempo like that. As great as the offense is, it puts a lot of pressure on your defense, and they're playing pretty well. But, man, some of those plays that Young made. But isn't that win now even more valuable because Bryce Young played and played great?
Yes.
remember, we were talking about, hey, this might be a good time to catch Alabama.
I'm glad he played, in, because I think it makes it that much more legitimate that he played, albeit he probably wasn't 100%. But
if he wasn't 100%, I'd hate to see what it looks like when he is 100%.
Right. So, I mean, you can say that they earned it in every sense.
Yeah, because that was a storyline. This might be a good time to catch Alabama because you might be catching Bryce Young. But I saw no sign that Bryce Young was hurting at all. If he was, he masked it pretty well and overcame it pretty well. He threw, because he made some very tough throws.
Yeah, no doubt. Coming up next, we'll get to your phones. Jerry, Steven, hang on, 615-737-1025, and I need to address Shane on the text line as well. We'll do that coming up next. But first, Willie, tell us about Lee Company.
All right, let's talk Lee Company. Lee Company does a tremendous job sponsoring our coverage of the Nashville Predators. Lee Company has been around for decades, and they have a great system when it comes to your overall home maintenance. In fact, they call it the home maintenance plan. They get the annual checkups for you. And in fact, this is the time of year where if you're on the home maintenance plan, as we are in our house, we'll get the call from Lee Company. They'll come in and check the heating unit. And by the way, it's going to be below freezing, I think, tomorrow night. So I hope you have your heating unit checked and ready to go. That's the idea behind the home maintenance plan for Lee Company. They'll come in every year. They'll give you a call. They'll come by when it's convenient for you. Make sure your heating unit, your cooling unit in the spring, your plumbing system, and your electric system, they're all working properly. And if you do need repairs, you get discounts on the repairs if you're a member of the home maintenance plan. That's what's behind Lee Company. They're a proud sponsor of our Nashville Predators coverage. You can reach them at 615-567-1000. That's 615-567-1000 or leecompany.com.
You know, last year, I remember when we played Bama, it was fourth quarter, you know, 3 or 4 minutes left, you know, and you can already smell the smoke. They lit it before we even end the game. And, you know, when you feel a feeling like that, you know, you want to bounce back from that. And they came to our place, sold out. I knew Vol Nation would show out. And just to see what these guys have done, you know, just how we executed, you know, how we played four quarters. It just shows how much heart we have on this team.
Wide receiver Jalen Hyatt on the big win against Alabama. What a day it was for that young man.
Man.
I mean, that's an understatement.
Incredible.
Six catches, 207 yards, 5 touchdowns, including a 78-yarder. There were times he was wide open. Look, I'm not going to get into this debate on who's better, Hyatt or Cedric Tillman. Cedric Tillman's pretty damn good in his own right. And when he comes back and they have both of them and you hope that they have both of them for Georgia, how scary that's going to be. But
whew, let me just stop the show for 1 second and remind people what happened in August. Okay, some of you might have been on vacation and missed it. Maybe you weren't in football mode yet. But Derek Mason did come out very, very strong and say Tennessee will beat Georgia. And I did a double take. I said, wait a second. What did you just say? He said, the Vols are going to beat Georgia. Yeah. That doesn't look quite as crazy right now.
No, it doesn't.
I mean, listen, I think it's going
and I
to
think
be,
everybody thought you were crazy. Hey, the text line was like, wait a minute, what did Derek just say?
They still think I'm crazy. but no, it's going to be a high-scoring affair. I don't think there's any defense in the country that can stop UT, especially when they get Tillman back. There's not a defense, and I will repeat this, even if they played Alabama again, there's not a defense that can stop Tennessee. They're just the only way Tennessee is stopped is because they stopped themselves. The only way they were stopped Saturday, is that they stopped themselves. It was nothing really that Alabama did, because there was nothing Alabama could do.
Yep. I think that's one of the reasons Nick Saban freaked so bad when when they muffed the punt, he almost killed that kid.
That's going to be a gift. Well, I'm convinced he killed an intern. They just
buried him.
The bodies are buried somewhere on the grounds.
Probably
there.
In the river with the gold.
there were some sacrifices made for that kid.
I kid.
But you're right. That's why if you have to be opportunistic. And you've got to find a way to stop them. You know you're going to give up yards. You're going to give up points. And so it's like an art form of how do you defend the Tennessee offense. They are going to score. But you have to find a way to come up with a couple of turnovers. Mm-hmm. That was what was so impressive about Tennessee. They just – they had – we talked about it last week. If they have that kind of game, then they're going to give themselves a chance to win. So Hendon Hooker, he becomes a Heisman guy because he had the great game when it was when they needed him to have the great game against the great team in the spotlight like that. It was perfect. He did it.
Yeah, and look, we've been talking about – I've been asking a lot of people. You guys have heard it. We've had the discussion. Do you think he could be a dark horse for Heisman? And everybody has said he's got to have the big moment. Well, he did.
That was it.
And he was already – after LSU, people started talking about it. Like, hey, you know what? He might actually be in this conversation. Now, today, that they're the third-ranked team in the country, he's very much in the conversation. And there's some Heisman voters that are saying, no, he – I would put him ahead of C.J. Stroud. I still think C.J. Stroud is probably the
front
runner. It
depends on how C.J. Stroud play against Michigan when they play in Michigan.
Because that's the other thing. Because Ohio State and Michigan, in this whole conversation of playoffs and everything, Ohio State and Michigan are going to take care of each other. Like, one, it's going to be one or the other. And I think it's going to be Ohio State. Like, I think Ohio State is probably the best team in the country. But – that will, you know, we'll get
not
to
if
that
you ask Vol
we
fans.
Well, but and how do we really know? Like, what has Ohio State done to this point? Like, we think they're good, but it's really because they're Ohio State and they're good every year. There's a little bit of that, along with what Georgia has done. Right now, there's still some reputation, some
look Georgia,
you know, some street cred from past years that's working in their favor.
But Georgia got, you know, taken to the wire with Missouri, and they end up getting it done at the end. But still, Missouri gave them a game and looked like, for a while, they could beat them. Now, I still think Tennessee probably is going to have that moment at some point, which they kind of did against Pitt. But, you know, you get into the SEC schedule, Kentucky's not going to be easy. They just had a big win. They got a little bit of their confidence and swagger back. You know, South Carolina's been playing well. I'm not saying that either of those teams are necessarily going to beat Tennessee, but you got to play the game. So, well, you know, you can't just overlook and think, all right, Georgia is next. And keep this in mind, too. You're probably going to – if you go down the path that you want to go, you're probably going to see Alabama again.
Yeah.
Like, you're going to probably see them in Atlanta. If you beat Georgia, if you get that far, you're going to see Alabama again. You could potentially – see him three times if crazy things shake out. You never
know. I want the crazy stuff to happen.
Oh, I do too.
I want
to be a legit argument for three SEC teams, and I want that committee to look everybody in the eye and try and justify why not.
But see, here's the problem, because I've already said that UT would beat Georgia, and I do truly believe that. I think they will beat Georgia. I think what would make it crazy is if Georgia beats UT and then Alabama beats Georgia. Now we got three teams with one loss in the SEC, and they will have a huge argument because they've all lost to a top five team.
Yep.
So they would have a huge argument of all three of us getting in the playoffs.
Well, because here would be the argument. And I know that Willie doesn't necessarily want to do this yet, but we're going to. Here would be the argument. Okay, so in your scenario, Bama's got the one loss to Tennessee. Tennessee would have the one loss to Georgia. And Georgia
Will lose to Alabama.
Loses to Alabama in the SEC championship game. All right.
So you got three teams with one loss.
Ohio State runs the table, wins the Big Ten. They're in.
Yeah.
They're in. There's no argument there. So Ohio State's in. Okay, Michigan's sitting there with one loss, but not in the Big Ten championship.
Michigan's strength of schedule is not stronger than the three in the SEC.
I agree.
But it all depends on how Penn State finishes.
Honestly, this argument got helped this weekend because SC lost to Utah.
Yeah, they lost to Utah. So SC's out of it.
Ole Miss has to play Alabama, so they're going to have. But what if they
now
don't
Ole
have,
Miss still has an argument?
Yes. What if they have one loss?
Ole Miss still has an argument. This is what
TCU.
This is why I like college football, and this is why I'm glad it didn't go to, you know, 8 or 16 teams yet, because you're going to have it. You're going to have three teams from the SEC potentially with one loss. You're going to have a Big Ten team with either one loss or no loss. Then you're gonna have a Pac-12 team with one loss. You got Clemson.
Well, I was about to say the fly in the ointment is gonna be Clemson because Clemson's going to have pedigree. Mm-hmm. Even though the ACC is, I mean, it's nothing. Like, compared to the SEC.
Their strongest, what? They hadn't played Carolina yet, and they hadn't played Pitt, right?
No, they would. I think the only way they play Pitt is
Pitt
in
is
the championship
game, yeah.
Yeah. Clemson has, they just beat Florida State. Syracuse is going to be,
Syracuse is pretty good.
Game. Uh-huh. Then they're at Notre Dame, which they should take care of Notre Dame. Mm-hmm. Notre Dame sucks. Missouri, Miami, South Carolina.
So they can conceivably run the table until the ACC championship.
Yeah, I would say their biggest test that they have left. I'm not gonna write off Notre Dame because it's at Notre Dame, but they're not very good.
No, they're not.
So I'll say they probably take care of business there. But I would say maybe Syracuse this weekend is their biggest test left, just because they're ranked.
The way I look at this, you're looking at the top three teams. However order you want to put them in, whether it's UT, Georgia, Ohio State. The way I look at it is this. I think Georgia's number one only because they're the defending champions and they have not lost. But they have a brand of football that is boring. They're not throwing it around a yard. They are balanced offense. Their quarterback is not up for the Heisman Trophy. He wins them games. That's all he does. But then you look, and their defense is solid. Georgia's defense is solid. Then you look at UT. They're throwing a ball across the yard. Best offense in college football. But their defense isn't that good. You look at Ohio State. Second best offense in college football. But their defense is pretty good. Mm-hmm. I look at it from this standpoint. UT's number one. Ohio State's two. Georgia's three. That's just the way I look at it.
Well, I think nobody's got a win like Tennessee has.
Yeah, that's
right
what I'm saying. I look at Tennessee's wins, whether it be against Pitt, because you had to go to that hostile environment to play that team. And you were still a young ball club in the beginning of the season. So you play Pitt, you beat Pitt. Tough game, but you beat them.
Here's what you don't want, though, if you're Tennessee. You don't want Ole Miss to beat Alabama.
Yeah, that would kill it.
You want Alabama to run the table the rest of the way. You want Alabama to go to Atlanta.
Yeah, you maximize the value of that win.
Because the Florida win doesn't look very good now. It doesn't look as good, I should say.
But it's still a good win because
it's a rival.
It's a rival game, and you know, the history of those two universities playing one another. I just still think that was a big game. Yeah. The LSU, the way they dominated LSU, is big. I don't care what you may think of LSU. LSU is still a good football team, but they completely dominated LSU.
All of this will work itself out over time, or at least most of it will. So,
but I think
we're setting
the
table here, but there's a lot of things that are going to happen here.
615-737-1025. I promise you we will get to your phones. We've had a lot to talk about. Mm-hmm. We will get to your phones coming up next. Plus, are you surprised that the committee put them number three? We'll discuss that. Chase Willie and D-Mace, 1025, 1063, The Game. Chase, Willie, and D-Mace, 1025, 1063, The Game. Chase McCabe, Willie Donick, Jarrett Mason with you, taking your calls and your texts on the Vols and their win over Alabama. 615-737-1025. Now, I said I was going to address this. Shane on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHonda.com, talking about storming the field, taking the goalpost down. It's a tradition for bad programs, maybe. Fans of teams that know how to win don't rush the field and tear the goalpost down. Shane, you are entitled to your opinion. You know, and when I first read this, I was going to take a different approach, but I've calmed down. You're entitled to your opinion, and you're right. Tennessee has not been a good program for a while, and they're just getting back to that point. But if you go and you look up rivalry games, and especially ones that have been very one-sided for a long time, let the kids celebrate. Like, I just don't see the problem with it. If the university is like, yep, we know what comes with it, we'll pay the fine, we'll have fun with it, then why can't you? That's just kind of how I look at it.
Yeah, I mean, they did what most universities do, storm the field. I guarantee you, had this been in, you know, Tuscaloosa, and it was that type of game, like last second, I'm pretty sure Alabama fans would have probably stormed the field.
I don't know
too.
If I,
they
I
probably wouldn't have tore down the goalposts.
I don't know if they would have stormed the field.
I think they would have stormed. Considering both teams are in the top 10, this game had so many ramifications. So many. You know, who wins this game? Whoever wins this game has a leg up on everybody in the SEC in regards to national championship, because you look at who Georgia hasn't played. They haven't played anyone yet. Truly haven't played anyone yet. Now, they've been dominating basically everyone. But, again, UT, Alabama, they played Texas A&M and they played Texas. Texas should have won that game. Texas is a good program. They're getting back up there. They're a good program. A&M played them tough. So Alabama was almost – they were tested before they even got to the UT game. UT played Pitt. They played Florida. So they had been in that environment. So to me, this game was – it was just them storming the field. I think they would have stormed it had they been in Tuscaloosa and Alabama won too, because of what it meant at this point of time to each program. Not – the historic value of it. I'm saying at this point in time, what it meant to each program. If we win, we got a leg up.
I liked that it was organic and it was a buildup of all the time. I do think those are the factors in why people storm the court or storm the field on a particular game. I think when you do so much winning, that makes it less likely you're going to storm the field. It's just like,
I don't think they would have tore down a goal.
And it's not a philosophy. If Alabama had, like when Alabama went through a rough time in the 90s when they were cheating and when they changed coaches and they had scandals with the program, you know, when you go a long time without winning and you're hungry to win, that's when you're more likely to rush the field. I don't think there would be a scenario where they would rush the field at this point.
With moving forward, or
they've won so much.
I think if they
need to lose
Alabama?
For a while. Alabama.
Oh, I just talking about Tennessee.
No, Tennessee has been building for 20 years. Like they haven't won in a long time.
Yeah, you got a point. And look, I don't expect
they had to eat. They had to eat a little humble pie. The Tennessee fans, right?
Sure.
And
Bama fans had to do it too. Now, a lot of their fan base now don't remember that, but
yeah, Florida used to be the king of the hill for a long time under Spurrier, and now they had to eat a little humble pie for a while.
You think UT fans are going to be unbearable for the next until they play like Georgia or somebody or Kentucky? You think UT fans are going to?
Well,
be unbearable?
I still think right now the Tennessee fans.
love it though.
They'd be wise to be a little bit hesitant because they still haven't won quote anything yet. This was a huge win, but now it's like, oh wait a minute, we're number three.
Are they good?
Remember we talked about last week, everything changes when you win, like when you get a win like that.
Yeah, and look, I'm
including
surprised.
Including the expectations. Now there'll be a little disappointment. There'll be a huge disappointment if they get knocked off somehow by a Kentucky or somebody else on their schedule. They get upset, then all of a sudden, like, what happened? Well, look at the expectations for the year. You would have signed up for a minute for a 9-3 or a 10-2. Now you're disappointed to have that.
This is where Josh Heupel earns his money. Because this is what has made Saban so good, is the rat poison. We don't have the rat poison in the locker room. He gets rid of the rat poison. Can Josh Heupel do that? Because now, you know, there was the argument last week, well, was it really rat poison? Now you have the rat poison. Mm-hmm. Now it's there. Now everybody knows who you are. You're not under the radar anymore. Because I honestly thought they might get to four, but they leapfrogged some teams. And rightfully so. I just didn't think the voters would actually do it. And so they're the third best team in the country, according to the AP. Mm-hmm. All right, back it up. Go be the third best team in the country. Go be the second best. Go be the first, you know, go back it up.
Yep. And you do have to avoid the rat poison. I don't like the term necessarily, but it's the biggest.
No, but I get it.
Complacency.
Complacency. Rat boys.
615-737-1025. Gabrielle wants to weigh in on the Vols win. Welcome in.
Hey, how y'all doing?
Good.
Long time listener, first time caller. Hey, I just want to say I'm a big Bama fan. Being from Memphis, we hate UT. We hate the orange and all of that. But that was a great game over the weekend. Tennessee football being back in the SEC and being back in the upper echelon, I think not only is it good for the SEC, but it's also good for college football because you always had Florida and Tennessee. That was always a big game. Now you got Tennessee and Alabama. You know the SEC West is always going to be tough. Tennessee, like, it's been I've had a lot of friends just, like, you know, calling it and rubbing it in my face, but it's like, hey, y'all deserved it. Y'all earned that game. I was glued to the edge of my seat. Let me ask you this.
Sure.
Do you think that Nick Saban has lost his moxie as far as attracting top high-level recruits to Alabama? Because Georgia is getting those recruits. A&M is getting those recruits. Florida, LSU, Tennessee. Has Saban lost it because of the turnover with all of his coaches year in and year out? And the second question, if you can get those top five recruits to Alabama, why can't Saban ever get a high-level kicker like all the other programs in college football? Because you have five stars at every position, but you always worry as an Alabama fan, is the kicker going to kick the ball through the upright or are we going to lose the game on this? I'll hang up and listen. Thank you.
Okay, first of all, before we get to the nitpicking questions that he's throwing out there, these are the problems of a perennial powerhouse. But I could not agree more about college football needed that game. Mm-hmm. I think there are a lot of casual college football fans out there that are just tired of the same contenders. Okay, let me just blindfold. Who do you think the top programs in the country are preseason? Alabama, Clemson, Georgia. It's just Ohio State. It's the same thing. We need more contenders. We need more parity. Yeah. That is what college football desperately needs, so I agree with him on that.
Yeah, on the recruiting part, whether he's lost his moxie on that, I'm going to answer this very simply. Hell no. He has not. I mean, has the game changed, and is he having to adapt to that game? Absolutely. And I think that's uncomfortable for him. But he's doing it, and he's going to continue to do it. So, the team that Alabama had on the field had a ton of talent, and they just lost the game. That's just how it is. I mean, they were right there in it. I don't think it's that. Bryce Young is the best quarterback in college football. So, I think he's still got his touch. But we'll get back into the Vols coming up here in just a few minutes. But first, we're going to talk to Teron Davenport, Titans NFL Nation reporter. Mike Vrabel is going to address the media at 11:15, so we will get into that. But first, D-Mace, tell us about BetUS.
And that I will. We had a bunch of great games this weekend, college football and the NFL. And I hope and I pray, and I know you did, when you wanted to make your bet, you went to BetUS.com, which is back for its 28th year of NFL action with the industry's biggest sign-up bonus of up to 200%. BetUS offers their members the opportunity to cash in on all their favorite leagues, including the NFL, MLB, NBA, and more. They've also got hundreds of new casino games, including the coolest European slots, and their live dealers are waiting for you at the table. You need a sport book with integrity and longevity. You need to know that you will be getting paid. That's very important, people. You need a sport book that offers everything, including live betting, MMA, golf, horse racing, esports, and all kinds of crazy bets. Call today at 1-800-79-BETUS. That's 1-800-79-BETUS, and they will walk you through setting up your account. Nobody in the industry gets better bonuses than BETUS. Join now. Mention best, and I mean the best sports radio show in town, 102.5, and you can get up to 200% in bonuses on your first deposit. Nobody beats that. So head on over to BetUS.com and join today. That's BetUS, where the games begin.